The Paunch Stevenson Show, paunchstevenson.com, episode 317, Sunday, November 2nd, 2025.
Welcome to the Paunch Stevenson Show.
This is the Paunch Stevenson Show, paunchstevenson.com, episode 317. I am Rob, you are Greg.
Hello.
And we are in the Burger King parking lot.
We're not, but...
No, we are in a parking lot.
We're in the Netscape Navigator parking lot here. We are hold that the whole time.
Sure, why not?
I don't know, it's... You gotta, like, hold it more centrally, don't you?
We are coming to you live on the air, pre-recorded.
Well, that's true. Yes. We've never been live.
Ever. From, no, it's, why? Why? Who's gonna listen? Nobody's gonna, who cares? No, we are in a parking lot in New Jersey.
Yeah. Why?
Rob and Greg in New Jersey. Why? Because.
Why have we bothered?
Because...
Dun, dun, dun.
We just passed.
Yes.
A couple days ago.
Well, I'll backdate it.
A big milestone.
Milestone.
In the Paunch Stevenson Show universe.
Right.
20 years.
20 years. Of what?
Misery, grief, aggravation.
Oh, man. You know, what I said on the first episode, I said, we're going to be the number one podcast in the federal prison system. I think that's how I worded it. Have we done that? No?
We're up there.
I don't know.
We're up there. We're one of the number one.
You know, the problem was when we started, there was like no one doing podcasts at all, just about. And now everyone does them. It's
literally every single person on planet Earth. We started the trend.
Well, Frank, the great Frank Edward Nora, the Overnightscape.
He taught us, and then we taught the world.
Yeah, so...
We need residual. Every single podcast on planet Earth owes us a nickel. An episode.
We get a lot, yeah.
And then that would all add up to $50
billion. $50
billion? And then we could finally pay Michael Jackson from his lawsuit.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still suing you. No, that's ignorant. I've only had two nose jobs. Come on. My hair was on fire.
So,
I love children. Children are beautiful.
God. People have heard enough of that. Remember when we used to have like a message board when we first started?
Yes.
And we had these like crazy, I don't know who these people were. They were like keeping up with us and then they vanished.
Joe and Dennis. Esteban.
We knew them. Well, Esteban we knew from the show.
Like Paul Chang. And
is that who it was?
Steve in Minnesota. And all these people, right?
I just remember there was a guy in like St. Louis or Kansas City that sent me his Sega Genesis collection. Remember that?
And Game Gear.
I don't know. That was mostly Genesis.
Or a Nomad or a Game Gear.
You're right. It was a Nomad. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
He sent it for free. All I did was I paid him $25 for shipping. Incredible.
That was back when we had fans and listeners.
Yeah, so, you know, ironically, we're looking at an old radio station, an abandoned radio station there.
Oh, let's go take it over. Like, Pirate Radio, we'll take over the airwaves.
Like Christian Slater.
Airheads.
Well, that was a live station. Christian Slater was doing the pirate. This taste smells like piss, man. I loved Airheads.
It was good. It was
one of my favorite ever movies, Airheads.
Supposedly, they're working on a sequel.
They can't do that. That's...
They'll be 65 years old.
They will. I mean, they're close to it. I mean, it's
still working on a demo tape.
No. Well, I guess they can use what's her name, the blonde, Amy Locaine. I think she's back out of prison, so they could use her for that movie again.
And she was in prison. Why?
I forgot. Because she got drunk and crashed into these old people and killed one of them. I met her at Chiller, though. She was very nice.
All right, what's worse? Wait, was that prior to the killing the old people?
No, that was after.
All right, so who destroyed their career worse? Her doing that?
Or Michael Jackson?
Or Mark Sanchez getting drunk or whatever it was, allegedly.
I don't know what's going on.
Going around stabbing people and robbing cars. What was that?
That's not good.
Former NFL playoff quarterback.
Punt fumbler. I think Mark Sanchez.
Commentator.
Yeah, Mark Sanchez had that was in Indianapolis. I don't know if he had the bath salts and went a little bizarre. Obviously Mark Sanchez, because he still had a career. This woman didn't have a career anymore when she ran into those people.
So there we go. So whatever happened to Mark Sanchez?
No, I mean, he's still alive. It's just... in some hot water.
This man is not dead.
Oh, he's not dead, I tell you. You know they're remaking The Running Man without me, Arnold.
Oh, they should get him to be the Richard Dawson guy, the host. Right? He could host it and then have a new generation of contestants.
I forget who the host guy is on the movie. I don't know. It's just coming out now. But The Running Man.
Why
did
he make that?
I think it's just coming out. Glenn Powell. But the problem is it's not going to be a comedy, or not a comedy, but you know, like some
satire.
Yeah, it's not going to be campy like the original was.
Who's the actor who you just said?
Glenn Powell.
All of a sudden this guy showed up out of nowhere and he's in everything now.
Oh, good for him.
What is that?
Oh yeah, yeah.
I'm getting Glenn Powell fatigue over here.
He was in Top Gun 2, right, with Tom.
He was, yeah. Maverick.
He wasn't Maverick.
No, the movie. Was
oh right, that's right. Tom Cruise. By the way, this is going back a while. I remember I sent you the picture. Tom Cruise with all the plastic surgery. He looks just like Norm MacDonald now.
Murder
is legal.
Help me help you.
Second adaptation. All right, 2021, Paramount Pictures announced it would make a new film of The Running Man. Glenn Powell, Katie O'Brien, I don't know who that is. Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Josh Brolin is like the head villain.
And Michael Cera.
I can't stand him.
What? He's going to be... That makes no sense.
He's one of like the prisoners.
Him?
Contestants. Yeah, I guess so.
He's so scrawny.
I guess he's the comic
Might
relief.
As well have Urkel in there.
Did I do that, Carl?
Steps on a landmine.
Josh Brolin. He was in Goonies.
Yes. You're looking up Josh Brolin like people don't know who he is?
Men in Black 3.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Etc. All right, what else? What else?
That's 20.
It. That's
20
it.
years. 20.
Oh, yeah, goodbye.
Oh.
That was it. That was the episode. No. All right, let's go. Let's go. Let's
we
go.
Say, oh, well, no. We thank
I'm just getting warmed up.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, wait, pause for a second. Did you ever actually sit down and watch that movie?
This isn't a pause. Which movie?
Scent of a Woman.
Yeah, I've seen it.
So for many years, I only knew the jokes about it,
right?
Without having actually seen it, like the hoo ha and whatever. Al Pacino, right?
I'll give you a stack of gum so you gotta chew it.
Then, a few years ago, I actually, it was on, like, I don't forget, was it was on, I'm like, all right, you know what, this movie, everyone jokes about it, the hoo-ha, whatever, I'm going to actually watch it.
Yeah. Chris O'Donnell.
It was absurd!
Like, of course it
was. It's Al Pacino.
He won an Oscar, didn't he?
Yes! I think, right?
I think he did.
Al Pacino playing a blind guy with a foghorn, leghorn, southern accent.
He was like an army general or something.
And he has to defend the boy at the prep school.
Maybe.
Because he got wrongfully accused of doing a prank or something.
That's like every movie in early 90s.
And he's like, so he's going up in front of the board of the school, all these suits and ties, this stuffy. And he's like, let me tell y'all something over here.
I tell you,
this boy is the most upstanding boy I've ever seen in my entire life on this planet over here. I'm like, who is taking this seriously? This is a comedy.
Right.
I could not get through. I was laughing the entire time. This was not a serious movie.
Right.
And it won awards.
Right. Well, he did, yes. You know, the funny part
is... hilarious.
And so, you know, the funny part was the other movie that all those, like, Pacino kind of wacky clips, those one-liners come from is that one and then the Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves, where he plays basically the devil.
Right.
And that has my favorite. That's like my favorite Pacino, because he's just so over the top. Also with like a southern accent, even though he's not supposed to be from the South.
Why does he keep doing the southern accent?
That's what it does when he wants to be angry. It's like, you know, Sorrel Brook, the great Sorrel Brook played Boss Hogg. He was not southern at all. He's a Broadway actor. Yeah. He actually talked like this. And then, and then he's on Dukes of Hazzard, like, Roscoe, you got darn to do. Well, that's the other guy.
The Avis guy.
No, that's Roscoe.
No, I know, but him and the other guy.
But it's like, you know, it's Al Pacino being like, vanity is definitely my favorite sin.
Why? My favorite sin.
Well, he was the devil.
I'm the devil now, you hear? I didn't make him do it, Kevin. Don't work like that.
Now what you gotta do?
Oh, God. So the funny part is, like, Al Pacino, you know, like in the 70s, he was, like, in the Godfather movies and Serpico and Cruising.
Scarface.
And, well, yeah, well, Scarface, he had that terrible accent, but...
Right.
Before then...
Say hello to my little friend over here.
So before that... And, you know, the funny part about that movie... Now we're getting really... Scarface is...
Getting off track.
Two of like, his goons, like the other... like, the Cuban mafia guys or whatever, or Colombian, are also two guys who are not Latino at all... With, like, the same kind of, like, rough accent. One was Robert Loggia.
Oh.
Robert Loggia. Yeah.
Imagine him doing an accent.
He had one accent. That was it.
Yeah.
Arr.
The guy from Big.
Yeah. And Robert Loggia and Necessary Roughness.
Mm.
Don't throw at the stone hands.
And then the other one was what's his name from Breaking Bad?
Oh,
that we met at Chiller.
Tim Watley?
What? Well, Breaking Bad, the old guy. He's actually Jewish, but
oh,
like bald. He played Uncle Tio or whatever in the Breaking Bad. And in Ace Ventura, he was Mr. Chickadance.
I thought you were talking about the.
We met him at Chiller.
Who's the main guy from Breaking Bad? Why am I drawing a blank?
Bryan Cranston?
Yeah, I thought you were talking about him.
No.
All right, so...
Ventura. Now hear animals in there, Ventura. Hello, Satan.
All right, hold on. Scarface, right?
Yes.
It's, what's his name? Al Pacino played Joe Montana? No, I'm kidding.
I don't care about him. I meant the other guys.
Steve Bauer?
No, those are like the main actors.
Robert Loggia.
So, you got to go down. It's a cast. Hit cast.
Yes.
Scroll up. No.
Michelle Pfeiffer. She was in that.
Yeah, well, she was like the girlfriend. The girlfriend. Keep going. Mark Margolis. Mark Margolis.
Oh, I don't recognize that guy.
Well, we met him at Chiller.
We did?
Yes, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. And,
recently?
Well, 10, 12 years ago.
I don't remember at all.
And then the other one was, yeah. Anyway. So, anyway, my point about Pacino was, like, he was, like, this soft-spoken actor. Like, all the roles, you know, okay, we can't, okay, I can't do that right now, okay. You know, don't tell me about my business, okay. You know, and then once in a while he would scream. But, you know, he was very soft-spoken. And then at some point in the 80s, he just turned into this, like, gruff screaming guy. You know, like, I remember in Sea of Love, Sea of Love with John Goodman, he was already like, arr, arr. I don't know, cigarettes?
So you have him doing that.
Then John Goodman going from there. The Babe Ruth.
Can't understand a word anyone's saying.
Well.
Arachnophobia.
Anyway, 20 years.
King Ralph. Yeah, 20 years.
20 years. So also...
lunacy.
Yeah. Shout out to Spaceman David, of course.
Oh, yes, yes.
Who's still alive and kicking.
The very refined, dashing...
If you say so.
English gentleman, right?
Yeah. Also, who are the fans? Bob Lament. Bob.
Manny the Mailman.
Manny the Mailman. I don't know whatever happened to him.
Frank Nora.
Who's that other guy?
Scott C. Clemens.
No, not Scott
what
C. Clemens.
Guy? Esteban.
No. Oh, the other guy that does that, what's that show that he does? I can't look it up on my phone.
Oh, P.Q. River?
Is he still around?
Still.
There's another guy. I can't think of his name.
I'm not gonna, what kind of show?
Oh, I gotta look up on Facebook. No, I have him on Facebook.
Facebook?
Yeah, we have like 5 Facebook friends, I think, on the Paunch site.
I don't even log it. To me, that Facebook doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, that's your fault. I use it for communicative reasons. Oh, my God. What is
the last time I logged into Facebook, and I'm just like, I don't know, let me, like... periodically, I do log in just in case a relative messaged me or something. And the last time I logged in, I'm scrolling through the homepage, the feed, and it's just garbage. It's ads.
Yeah.
It's spam.
Well,
it's
everything.
AI slop. It's garbage. I'm like, this is just worthless. How do people use, like? I'm not even joking around. How do people still use Facebook now? In
a lot of people,
this
I use
time
it.
Period? I don't use it.
It's not great, but... Wait, I think his name started with an S. What other name do you think? S-S-R...
Rugal? The Rugal guy?
No. Oh, God.
Rugal Cat? No, what was
the... No!
I'm not going to remember. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, look at my
I don't even know what we're
list.
Looking for.
How do I look into my friend list?
I don't know. There you are, friend.
354. Oh, this is gonna take a while.
You have a lot of friends. Very popular.
Well, I don't know that I am. Boy. Oh my gosh. Well, all right. There's the
Smodcast.
Yes, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Who's that?
Well,
who is? Yeah, I don't know. Google Smodcast. Wasn't that
Smidge?
Oh, Smidge Turtlebomb. Yeah, him.
Yes.
Smodcast was the Kevin Smith thing, I think. No.
Yes, you're right, that is.
But I knew what you were talking about. Yeah, I knew.
Well, I said it was an S.
Yes. Smidgecast.
Sorry, Smidge a Curdle Bomb. I couldn't think of the name.
All right. To all our listeners out there, if they even still...
Go to hell! No.
All right, what else? What else?
Oh, so, so this, remember when I told you what happened with Martin Cove at a convention?
No. So this Remind me.
So this is earlier this year. You know, Cobra Kai is over with, the series. It is finished. By the way,
ended on a bang, right? With a bang.
Oh, boy, I don't know about that. There was a bang.
They're like, literally killing each other. Literally.
I will have to say, as bad as, let me tell you, I really liked that show, but the last couple of seasons were horrible.
Well,
no, they were terrible.
Because when it first started out, first of all, this thing went a lot of seasons, but when it first started out, it was absurd, but it was still based somewhat in reality. It was somewhat believable.
Yeah.
And then every couple seasons, they would keep upping the ante, until finally the last couple seasons, they're literally murdering each other on live TV.
Wait a minute. Wasn't like the end
of
the
karate
Wasn't
tournament.
It the end of the first season, they had like this bare-knuckle karate brawl in the middle of the high school?
That was a couple... Was that the first season?
I don't know. It may have been first or second. It got ridiculous right away.
It was always ridiculous, but at least... I'm just saying, by the end, it got...
Right.
It got... it reached completely absurd levels.
And then you had these, flashbacks or these dream sequences where they CGI'd Pat Morita into, this... They turned him into this, like karate master maniac. And I'm like, what?
Miyagi!
He never even moved in the movies. He couldn't even move.
Well, he had that one fight scene where he beat up Johnny and the other, the Cobra Kai.
Barely moved. Anyway, so it just got ridiculous. But I will say, as ridiculous as it got, it was like season after season, John Kreese, you know, whatever he tried to do, sadistic things, it would backfire. Terry Silver, his stuff would backfire.
Well, John Kreese... literally faked his own death.
Well, they both did.
He stopped his heart on the stretcher.
Right.
He's in the morgue.
He just runs away.
And then they unzip the bag, and he wakes himself up and kills the people, and then runs away. I'm like, how? How are you doing that?
Anyway, so it ends with him and Terry Silver on a boat. Fighting each other, and then the boat explodes.
Well, John Kreese blew it up, sacrificing himself because he saw the light.
Now that's John Kreese karate. But anyway, so Martin Cove at one of these conventions, he saw this woman who was like his co-star, Alicia Hannah Kim, who spent most of the time with him on the show, really. And
was it Tori?
No, it was that older Asian lady.
Oh, the Asian lady. Yeah.
So she finally... So anyway, they're at a show, and I don't know, she goes up to say hello to him, and I don't know what the heck he did. He didn't hug her, but he slapped her or something like that, or he grabbed her wrist and did I don't know what he did, but he physically almost harmed her.
So he has literally now become John Kreese.
So he's like...
In real life.
He's like, I apologized, and, we just kid each other and all. And she was, really angry and almost pressed charges and...
Against John Kreese.
Yeah, so that's crazy. But that I guess that's also John Kreese karate.
Yes. If you're what did he say? A man who can't see... Can't fight. A man who can't breathe can't fight. A man who can't walk.
That was it. Yeah. The man who can't be can't fight. John Kreese karate. I don't know. I mean, it was fun, but it was great to see Terry Silver again and some of these other people, but I don't know.
Terry Silver. I hate that guy.
You hate him? He was hilarious.
The character. He's just so
hilarious.
Nasty. And Crook, he's always paying off the cops and everything.
Anyway, so that happened. And then a recent chiller back in the spring, they had Weird Paul Petrovsky there. Remember that? I told you he was there. I went up and said hello to him.
I remember that guy. Yeah, yeah. How's he doing?
He looked okay. Good. He was having fun. I mean, nobody went to his table, so he was just going to the other tables and meeting the celebrities.
All right. Good for him. So he's still around. He's still...
Of course. He looks exactly the same.
Still doing his thing. Weird Paul.
I always thought that he did that as some kind of, like, he was like someone like Weird Al impersonator or something, but it had nothing to do with that.
No, no. Growing up, he liked Weird Al, and he himself was also weird. So he got that nickname. He makes silly music. But not parodies.
As funny as is that one of my friends growing up who used to live on my street, of course, we also got called Weird Paul. Remember that?
I do. No relation, though. No connection.
Yeah.
This was more than a decade before we knew about the real Weird Paul.
Oh, 20 years before.
Yeah.
Or whatever, 15 years. Let's see. I also met Mr. T finally.
Really?
He was in Dallas, Texas.
I pity the fool.
You better come to Mr. T, only convention ever.
So far, it is.
Was he nice? Please tell me he was.
Yeah, Mr. T was. Very nice. I only got the photo with him because his line was too long for autographs, so I just like sent it in. But
what the heck is
that? What's that? Oh, the
why is this?
Go away. Come on.
Doesn't want to shut up. All right, there we go.
All right. Mr. T, he was dressed as Mr. T, and he was very nice, and I saw some of his panel, and then I watched the full panel, which was, you know, he was doing his, like, inspirational speech and all that kind of thing, you know.
Let me tell you, fools, everybody said, Mr. T, where's your gold? What happened to your gold? Well, I'm going to tell you, I got cancer. And when you get cancer, you don't want any gold. So I sold all the gold because that's not my life anymore. No more gold.
That's right.
Ah.
He also said, when Hurricane Katrina devastated, when it devastated New Orleans, remember that? That was 21 years ago. He said he saw the people lose everything on TV, and the people suffering. They don't have a home. They don't have nothing.
I pity them fools.
And he said, who am I to be walking around wearing all this gold?
And
these people have nothing and they're suffering. So he got rid of it, which I thought was, that was a wise thing.
Yeah. So, he had the mohawk or whatever the word was on his head, and it's like a do-rag and a United States flag shirt and overalls.
Good. So I still like Mr. T. He's one of the few people we grew up with.
Yeah.
He's one of the few people we grew up with really liking.
Yeah.
Who all these years later did not end up becoming a criminal or a molester disgusting evildoer.
Right.
He is still legit.
Right. But he had no career after, like, you know, like 1988.
That's fine. That's fine.
Mr. T, yeah, so he was cool, and then...
Which, by the way, his daughter is a stand-up comedian.
Oh, boy.
And she's funny, too. She's Erica Clark.
Yeah.
Very funny. And she does. She tells jokes about, like, my dad's Mr. T. Imagine growing up with him in the house. I pity this, I pity that.
So, another movie that apparently they're on their way of making, and I don't understand why, is Spaceballs 2. With Josh Gad.
Yeah.
Josh Gad is spearheading this movie. I don't understand
it. Really?
Yeah.
I thought Mel Brooks.
Well, I mean, Mel Brooks is in it, but he didn't write it or anything. The guy's 99 years old. 100 years old. And Rick Moranis is coming back for it. They're filming it in Australia, of all places. So, good night.
With Paul Hogan, is he?
I don't think Paul. It'd be great if Paul Hogan was in it, but I don't think he's going to be in it. But maybe they'll have Rhys Darby. No, he's from New Zealand, actually. Rhys Darby from New Zealand.
But you say that Mel Brooks is 99 years old.
Yeah.
As if that's ancient.
It's not.
What? Are we being shot at?
The
20th anniversary? They're shooting us?
Well, that would be a way to go out with
the firing squad? No.
It's like you can't do that on television. Ready, aim, fire.
But, yes, normally 99 years old is old.
What do you mean normally? It is old.
For a normal person.
Maybe not for a tortoise.
But for the 2,000-year-old man.
Oh, God.
He's still an infant.
Wasn't the 2,000-year-old man like Carl Reiner, though? Or was it Mel Brooks?
And Mel, I don't know. Before our time.
Mel Brooks. Yeah. And speaking of a long-awaited comeback, if you will, earlier this year...
Actually, it was Mel Brooks, but Carl Reiner would interview the 2,000-year-old. But yes, go ahead.
Acclaim!
Oh!
It was brought back by some company that involves Double J Jeff Jarrett from wrestling.
Why?
Double J Jeff Jarrett.
That was after my time. But anyway... Acclaim of all video game publishers.
Yeah.
Dessert. Like, how do I explain to people? Acclaim. What would the equivalent be in another industry?
Know.
Like, okay.
Like a Fiat?
So let's say, you have a Ford, you have a Chevy.
Yeah.
And then you have a Yugo. And they're just cranking out junky. They're just cranking out junk.
Like Daewoo.
Technically it works.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, no offense to Yugoslavians, but. Or another.
They're shooting us again!
The Libyans!
How they found me! I don't know how they found me!
Another example would be like... what was I going to say? See, now the bullet grazed my right ear. Distracted me.
What are you, Trump?
I got...
Amy! We're going to make America great again all the time, every time. It's great. It's wonderful. This show has been on. This show is huge. It's been on the air for 20 years. You never had me on because, you know why? Because you were a couple of deadbeats. You're bad people. You're very bad people.
And you're fired.
I won't give him your fire.
Fire that.
That was Vince McMahon who did that first.
You're fired.
You're fired.
Anyway, Acclaim.
Yes.
Was the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
Junk. Acclaim, well, LJN,
right.
THQ, Toy Headquarters.
Well, Acclaim.
High Tech Expression. These companies. In terms of video games, you had companies like Nintendo, Konami, Sega, Capcom, Tecmo. They tried to make high quality games. They took it seriously.
Well, they were Japanese companies.
They took it right. They took it seriously. Then you had the companies like Acclaim, LJN, THQ, to them this was just. Make a quick buck. These are toys.
Right.
2 weeks from now, no one's going to care. Just junky little toys.
It was no different than
out junk.
Previously, when you had like Quaker Oats making video games.
Right. So, you and I, growing up, it's like, ooh, The Simpsons. Hey, there was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles video game. That was fun.
Well, that
was
on Konami.
Right.
It was one of the few licensed games that a decent publisher got.
Right. And then it's like, ooh, now it's The Simpsons.
Yeah.
It's by Acclaim. We've heard of Acclaim. Acclaim's been around. And then you buy it. It's like, this is not good. Is it me? Maybe it's me. Maybe I just need to get better. Maybe I need to practice more. Maybe it's me. But then looking back, now we know, oh, no, certain companies would just farm out the development to the lowest bidder. Crank something out. You got 6 weeks. Here's a few thousand dollars. Don't put any time or effort into it. Just crank something out that's playable.
Well, Acclaim was, they were out in Long Island, actually, back then. And you're right. I mean, they didn't program in-house. They just farmed it out whenever. I mean, they would pay for a license for whatever. And then, if I remember, I forget who said this. It's been said multiple times by various people in the industry. But so what they used to do is they would pay like X amount of money to like a Hollywood studio or whatever for the license. And they'd have the license for like, I don't know, a year or 8 months or whatever it was. And if you couldn't produce a game in that time, then it would, the license would revert back to the, you know, the intellectual property holder, the studio or whatever. And, you know, maybe you'd have to pay them some fine or some, I don't know, some buyout or whatever it is. So, that's what they used to do. So they're, and this went all the way back to the days of Atari. So, although back then they would pay like millions to like Spielberg for, you know, the Gremlins or the E.T.
Star Wars was a big one. Indiana Jones.
Right. So basically what they did was
Star Trek.
Yeah. I mean, they would do that. And so, you know, from their perspective, it's like, well, you know, we got to make whatever the time is, a Christmas, whatever, you know, we need this thing to ship. So, and we got the license, so let's just farm it out, you know, as quickly as possible. That being said, not for nothing, but if you look at LJN, of all those licenses that they had, right, but none of them were like the movie just comes out and then they have to produce a game. They were all like several years, Back to the Future, but out for years.
Jaws.
Karate Kid, yeah, Jaws had been out 15 years at that point or almost, you know, whatever, and
Karate Kid was, because that was more like,
it was Karate Kid 2. But still, Karate Kid 2 came out in 1986.
Did it?
Yes.
So yeah, it was still a few years.
The game came out like 2 or 3 years later.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, Gotcha.
What was that?
That movie.
That was
Gotcha.
A movie?
Yeah, the paintball movie.
That was a movie?
Yes.
Oh my God! Wow. I never saw that one. Yeah, so who did Total Recall and like Die Hard for NES? I mean, they were awful.
All right, hold on.
They were really bad. I mean, there were several companies that published games back then that were atrocious on 8-bit systems.
Ocean was another one.
Ocean, I think Ocean did Total Recall.
As Spaceman David would probably know, being in England and growing up with the microcomputers.
Right. But I thought
Ocean was their version of our LJN.
I don't know. I mean, I guess so. But there were multiple companies that did that in computers. I thought Ocean made decent computer games. The problem is, you know, back then, they were making games on 8-bit computer systems that were so outdated that the games automatically would just look like junk. On a Commodore 64? Like, what kind of a game could you make in 1987? It's going to be terrible looking.
By the way, Die Hard, the Nintendo Entertainment System game.
Yeah. Was that Mindscape?
Activision was the publisher.
Oh, no.
Pack-In Video was the developer.
Wow. They should have packed it in.
You said Die Hard. What was the other one you said?
Well, I said Total Recall.
Oh, yeah, Total Recall. That was
I didn't remember who made that one.
That was Acclaim.
Oh, okay. I mean, it was terrible. It was one of the worst ever.
And that one. Get out of here with this begging. It was published by Acclaim, developed by Interplay.
Ah, well, Interplay, they could make console games. They stunk at that, too.
You know what the weird thing was? In the early 1980s, Activision was this very highly praised game-making company. Pitfall, Kaboom, Keystone Capers, etc. Yeah. Right, Grand Prix. On the Atari 2600. And then they started getting into the home computers, Commodore 64, the Atari computers. And then the Nintendo Entertainment System. Once they got to that point, they went from being this very highly praised company that made these impressive video games.
Right.
To now on a more powerful game console, the Nintendo Entertainment System, they're just pumping out garbage. Predator.
Well, that really wasn't the same company.
Well, I guess not.
Of Activision. I don't think it was. It was...
It changed, clearly.
Yeah, I don't think it was technically the same company. I think there were different owners at that point. And, all those guys like David Crane, those guys had all left years ago.
Gary Kitchen and David Crane. Well, Gary Kitchen made Absolute, yeah. and David Crane went with him, which...
Well, that was the whole thing back then, was every time...
Not for nothing, but they were cranking out the worst games imaginable.
That back then, that was when they used to... Those guys would leave a company... And they would branch off into a new company, and then they would specifically make, because they were all up in the San Francisco area, they would make a name that was one, that'd be above the other company that they left in the phone book. Like, who cares?
First it was Atari.
Right.
Then it was, oh yeah, well,
Activision.
Now we're Activision. Right, we come before you in the list.
And then there was Accolade.
Bob White had left and made Accolades, and now we're before you.
Yes.
And then Gary Kitchen left, and I'm going to make Absolute.
Oh, the next one would have been like Aardvark.
Right.
Aardvark Software. How stupid.
Anyway.
Speaking of Acclaim, we also will... give a 20th anniversary to Digital Press, the video game store.
Yes. Clifton, New Jersey.
Not the intellectual property, which I think actually goes back to, I think Joe started that in like 91. Something like that.
Yeah, it's been around for a long time.
2005, he opened the store. Yes, that he opened the store. The forum obviously was around before then. And, we were talking about, before we started, this time when, I don't remember who it was. It was a listener. I thought his name was Steve. But he was in, Missouri. This is, years ago, almost 20 years ago. And we were talking about, Sega Genesis. And I see that you're a big Sega Genesis fan. He's like, I have all this, my Sega stuff. Do you want it? And I was like... Yeah, I don't care. Whatever. Just send it to me. So I just paid him for the shipping. And it wound up being like a box of all these Genesis games and a Genesis and a Nomad. It was just tons of great stuff that this listener had sent it to me because he didn't know what to do with it. And, it was back in that time when, besides eBay, I don't know where you would have sold it at that point. But, and people didn't think they were worth much. But I was just thinking about how we got into Digital Press. It's really your fault.
What?
So, I wasn't playing. I mean, I was playing games, and I had an Xbox when we started this show. I didn't get the 360, and I don't know if I had anything else I was really playing. And then at some point, I did, emulator stuff and whatever. And then at some point, you've had a video game collection and then sold it or had it lost.
I was robbed. In a way.
Well. So, multiple times now. You've had multiple video game collections.
That's fine.
I'm just saying. So, you were doing that, and then, I don't know how, I had kept a lot of my games. N64 and NES and SNES and blah, blah, blah. So I kept them. But I wasn't really a collector. It was just old stuff that I still had. And then somehow or another, like, you started this itch. And the next thing I know, I'm on the Digital Press Forum, and then we're, like, looking for video game stores. And we're, like, driving around looking for video game stores.
In 2006.
Yeah, by 2006. And, yes. And then I just have a room of video games.
Every video game
possible. No, I don't have every single one. I have a lot of them, but...
ColecoVision.
Yes, I have that.
Intellivision.
Yes.
All the visions.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't have
Adventure
all the
vision.
No, I don't have that.
Microvision.
No, oh God, those are awful.
Do you have this got rebranded so many times. The personal arcade /
the
Astrocade.
Astrocade,
whatever it was called.
Yeah, I have the Astrocade. I got it like a year or two ago.
The Bally Astrocade. But then
Bally Astrocade.
It was either after that or before that. It had a different name. The Personal Arcade, I think it was called.
I think that's what it was originally called. Bally
Personal
Arcade.
It went nowhere. This thing went nowhere.
Well, it was sold in like 1977 or 8 initially. And, you know, after the Atari VCS came out in 77, and then the Intellivision came out, et cetera, et cetera. And you're right. It didn't sell because they didn't have good distribution and all, and it just didn't sell. And so it, like, sat there for a few years, and then some company decided, like, in 1981, oh, hey, Bally, what are you doing with this console? Well, nothing. So they they bought the rights to it. And so then they started selling it again as the Astrocade. I think by that point it was the Astrocade. And that's when, like in 81, 82, that they, because they didn't have licenses for anything, they made all of those like Pac-Man clones and Space Invader clones. And like they were really good looking games. It was a good system, good little system. But that's when they started doing that. And, you know, but they were clone games, but it still didn't sell. You know, they sold it through like mail order. It was ridiculous.
So yeah, it was the Bally Professional Arcade.
Yeah, whatever, professional.
And then they rebranded it as the Astrocade.
Yeah, I have one of those.
It is a very
they're a bit flimsy,
strange looking game console. It looks like a I don't know. It just looks weird. There's a keypad on the console itself.
Well, a lot of them did that back then.
On the controller?
Oh, some on the console. The RCA Studio 2 did that. I think Odyssey 2 did.
The Studio 2, dude. All right, terrible. Next.
Terrible. So did you want to talk about that? Remember you found like some article on it?
All right, 20 years. This is 20 years.
Oh, this is older than that.
So, no, but Paunch Stevens in 20 years.
Yeah.
So, a long time ago, I don't remember what episode it was,
but
you and I were talking about when we were in school. This would have been fifth grade, sixth grade. For some reason, every year in art class, the art teacher would make us make these posters. And it was called, it was for this event called SEPPO.
SEPPO!
S-E-P-P-O, SEPPO.
Yeah, SEPPO.
And it was some sort of, all we knew back then, it was some sort of Special Olympics competition thing. We had to make posters for it. I don't know why, but we had to make posters. So, fast forward X number of years, you and I are doing the podcast. And we were reminiscing, and one of the memories that came up were these SEPPO posters. And we're like, what was that? SEPPO.
Yeah.
And I'm Googling, and I'm typing in. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing about it. The only thing that came up was SEPPO was a word in Australia.
Right! That meant the septic tank.
It was slang.
I remember that.
People would go around calling each other seppos.
Yes.
If you were...
Hi, seppo!
Yeah, if you were dirty or smelly, like short for septic tank. Get away from me, seppo!
Good night, seppo!
So anyway, and Googling nothing. Nothing. Like, right. What the heck was this? Did we imagine it? Was this a dream? What is this? What was Seppo in Belleville, New Jersey? What the heck was this? So I don't know why, but a couple months ago, it just popped into my brain. So instead, and I Googled it, nothing, as usual. And I'm like, no. I'm going to figure it. This has been how many years now? I need to know what the heck this thing was. So I got the idea not to search Google, because that was going nowhere.
Right.
So I actually searched the newspaper website.
Right.
And it came up. And I'm like, aha, see, we didn't dream it.
The Belleville Times.
The Belleville Times newspaper. Yeah. And it came up with all these different articles, a few different years. And it, what did it stand for? Like the special events for the people with... I don't know. But it stood for something. And it was like, now we knew. And I sent it to you. I took a screenshot and I sent it to you.
And I did look at it.
But proof that it existed. We tracked it down.
Seppo!
It was an actual thing. And it, you know what it was? It was Belleville, New Jersey's version.
Oh, okay.
Their own proprietary version of a Special Olympics.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, I don't think they do that anymore.
Well, no, because there's been no reference to it. This was in the 1980s, maybe early 1990s.
Oh, okay. You know, speaking of an old reference, I think I showed you this. You remember I would tell stories where I think I've said it on this show. There was a little like kiddie park called like Kiddie Land or something like that, up on Route 46 in Pine Brook, New Jersey.
Yeah.
And now it's like a Wendy's. But it was like a very small, like 1960s era, like a little, like tiny amusement park. It was a dump. But basically, you know, we used to go up there as kids. It was a lot, it was fun. You go on the little rides, little train ride, whatever. And I used to have it in my head that I would go and play arcade games there. But I was like, you know, I just remember playing them in like an old church. And I would say it, and my mother was like, what? There's no church there. I'm like, yeah, there was a church. So, and there were other people had been to this amusement park, and they're like, I don't remember a church. And so I think eventually I found like some pictures or some reference to that amusement park, and I'm like, man, there's no church there. This is weird.
So it was all just a dream.
No! So then I found out that literally, like, across the other side of the highway, maybe like, a half a mile up, there was a church. I think they finally knocked it down like a few years ago. There was a church, and for many, many years, it was like a hobby store or something. But in the 1980s, it was a video game arcade called the Pine Brook Game Town. Was called Game Town, and I found some pictures, not really any pictures inside, like postcards, and I, you know, and like old tokens, because there's like on eBay, there's old tokens, and the back of the token is this Pine Brook Game Town. The back of it is a picture on the token of the church,
oh, wow,
embossed into the coin. So, you know, I was like, wow, that's. That's cool. That you know, all these years, I remember playing the first video game or arcade experience that I can remember. You know, this is probably when I was like 6 years old or something, or 7 years old, whatever. Was at this church, and I just remember being in this dingy, dark church playing video games.
Were other people there? Like, was it a popular?
I don't know.
Crowded.
I couldn't tell you. There was no one there. I mean, even the amusement park was. I mean, we would go up there probably like in the middle of the day.
Oh, I see.
you know, normally. So, yeah, I remember that. And
so you were in a church shooting missiles and blasting heads off.
Yeah, I wasn't
and
a church anymore at that time, but yeah.
Nice. What game did you play there?
Boy, I mean, I remember, like, Pole Position and probably, you know, I can remember, like, Space Invaders, vaguely. I'm sure Pac-Man, you know, it's so long ago that you don't even have, like, they're not even, like, memories. They're just, like, barely, like, watercolor, like, whatever. They're just thoughts at this point.
Yeah, I understand.
You know, I can't recall it. It's just too long ago. And I see some of these people that can recall stuff from when they were like 3 years old. I'm like, how?
I could do that sometime with some stuff.
I don't know. I really can't. But yeah, so that was that. Some YouTube. We have some YouTube recommendations, at least I do. Some stuff I've been watching over the past X amount of years. Some of them I've been talking about. We'll get to him. We'll get to him. Before the end of this show, we'll get to Dr. Phil and what he's up to now.
I am on YouTube.
Is he? I didn't know that. I think everybody's on YouTube. So, one of them, video game related, is, I've listened to a long time, I've watched for a long time, is the Retro Man Cave, which I don't know if I've talked about it on this show, but this guy Neil and his friends.
Wait a minute. Time
yes.
Is it the Retro Man Cave, or is it the Retro Man Cave?
I'm not even sure if it's Retro Man Cave. I know it's Retro and Cave.
Oh, okay.
But I think that's what it's called. I know they've changed it a bunch of times because they opened up this video game and arcade like playable museum in this old like pump house factory in England.
Yes. Oh.
And
whoopsie daisy.
So they do videos. They've done videos of like the stuff that they get in, this old, dirty, beat up stuff, and they fix it. They fix it all the time, and it's very interesting. And they're very nice to listen to. And as of late, they've raised so much money that they bought like the rest of the property, and they've been fixing up this old pump house to turn it into like repair space and a studio. And it's just a really. The guy Neil is like the main guy. This other guy Richard and Holly, and they're just so nice. And the Retro Collective—that's what it's called now. So they're just so nice and friendly, and it's just a nice thing to watch. And obviously, it's nice to learn about because you know they talk. And he's during COVID, he interviewed a lot of the old like British, you know, salespeople and programming people and stuff like that that worked for like Rare and Ocean and all those companies back then in the 80s and the early 90s. And so it was really, it's a great channel to watch, the Retro Collective.
Can you impersonate one of the voices? Is it like, hello, Governor?
No. They're very what do they call that over there?
Proper.
No.
Reserve.
Poff.
Oh, posh.
Posh. So like the guy Neil, he'd be like, "Well, we just got in a Commodore 64, and now we're going to go and fix it." And you know, it sounds like BBC radio.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
and the other guy, Richard, who fixes the arcades, like, "And now I had to fix it and do this and do that." And they have this decal guy that makes all the decals. And so they're not like, I had to go. I don't think anybody talks like that anymore over there.
Oi, mate.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. So it's more like that. But anyway,
good.
That's a great show. Great channel. And then this other one that we just, like, the two of us kind of, like, happened upon this guy.
This is the
wildest one ever. Is
this guy just came out of nowhere?
But he didn't though. Like his website. This guy, his name is Daniel Evanson or something like that. And this guy has been blogging about.
Bases loaded.
Nah, he's been blogging about
RBI baseball for 30 years.
No, he's been blogging about
Joe Montana.
Like old, like football games and stuff like that for a very, very long time. His blog is actually pretty cool, and it goes back a long ways. And all of a sudden, he just is like, oh, I'm going to start doing this YouTube thing. And he's actually, the crazy part is his actual, like, line of work is a diplomat. So, like, he spent all this time in China.
So he says.
Well, I mean, that's what it says on LinkedIn. And
he's a secret agent.
Oh, please.
He's undercover.
Yeah, I don't think so. That's kind of how he talks. But I think he's in Indiana.
Oh,
isn't he? Or something like that. He looks like somebody out there. But anyway. Like,
you know, the thing about Joe Montana Football 2 is it had the sports talk, which was a very revolutionary feature.
NBA Jam is the best basketball game of all time. You know.
He talks more like...
Yeah.
NBA Jam is a really good basketball game, but let's compare it to something like Run and Gun by Konami, and let's see which one is the better arcade basketball game.
No, I just love the fact...
We're not making fun. We like him.
I just love the fact that he's very repetitive in these videos, but I just love the fact that he'll, like, go off into a tangent when he's, like... He's talking about, like, you know, he's going over, like, I don't know, NFL Quarterback Club 97 or something, right? Well, you know, this is, I really like how they do the quarterback and they do the throwing option in this game. You know, it's a lot better than LJN NFL Quarterback, which is the worst football game of all time. He hates the LJN games.
They're bad.
The Major League Baseball game is constantly his. He hates that game, which, of course, is hilarious. But this guy is great because, first of all, his videos are not long. Right. They're like 15 minutes, and he does a ton of research. And the thing is, he researches all of the Japanese games that they based most of these old games on. And he researches Japanese, like, baseball and stuff like that to show you all the little nuances and why they are the way they are. You were like, you know, you'd be playing one of these old games, you'd be like, why is this happening? And then you realize, oh, that was a more of a typical thing in Japanese baseball versus American baseball.
Yeah, I remember baseball. When the original, he loves Bases Loaded. He really that's loves baseball. RBI baseball. That's his favorite, right. But... only the original ones, not the sequels. But
some of them he likes.
When we grew up, Bases Loaded was the big baseball game at the time.
Right.
It was fantastic.
Right.
And I loved it.
Until
and then,
Baseball Stars.
Right. And then they came out with Bases Loaded 2.
Right. Oh, boy.
And it was like, oh, imagine how much better this is going to be. We love Bases Loaded. Imagine Bases Loaded 2. It's going to be even way better. And then I remember playing it. And it was the same pitcher, batter,
view.
That was similar.
The fielding was terrible.
Right, so you hit the ball, and then it switches over into the outfield view, and it was sideways. And I always remember being baffled. Like, this is terrible.
The view was out of, like, right field or something.
Well, it depended on which side of the field the ball went in. So, and I remember thinking, like, they completely ruined Bases Loaded. Why did they do that? And decades went by, and I'm like...
But he had the answer, that guy.
Right, so then he posted the video, a couple months ago, and he's showing... video of televised Japanese baseball games on TV,
and they use the same camera.
And he's like, the developer Tosei was emulating what was on, like they made it like a TV broadcast,
except
a Japanese TV broadcast.
Hi,
and it was like, oh, okay, now that makes sense. I learned something. That cleared up a mystery for me for like 35 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's really good. You know, I think, you know, again, I mean, I don't know how long you can watch his videos because he repeats himself on these videos so much. But
I enjoy them.
He's got a football one. I can't even tell you the names because they're so bizarre. So
action-packed.
I don't know what the deal is with this guy. Rather than have one YouTube channel and then just organize the videos into, like, categories,
right.
He created separate channels for each one, and they make no sense. So basketball is called Basketball in Context. Like, what? And the football is called Action Football Sunday or something like that. And what's baseball?
Baseball and content. I don't know. I forget.
I forget. It's like baseball simulator, blah, 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 blah.
I'll tell you.
Well, I sent you the link that I made on the forum.
Oh, look, oh, it's loading again.
Yeah.
Baseball Replay Journal.
Oh, boy.
Action Football Sundays.
Right.
Basketball in Context. And then I found another one. He has a soccer one.
Which is off of his, like, main name.
Let's see. That one is called FM Projects.
Can you get to one of his videos? Not the bad. Can you get to, like, one of his, like, baseball videos just to some people listen to his goofy voice?
Yeah.
I say goofy, but I really like the guy. He's very...
Yeah, we like him.
Videos are great.
All right, ready? Going back here. Where's the baseball?
Yeah.
There you go. Videos. Here's
the all-time classic. There you go. Oh.
He's
base is loaded.
The Japanese...
Now, is he going to talk? Get the screen with his face.
So, what happened? I mean, how did they screw up such a great baseball series?
Baseball.
Well, let's take a quick look and see what they did to make Bases Loaded fall. At first glance, Bases Loaded 3 is really similar to the first two games. You've got that scene behind the pitcher view.
Anyway.
Yeah, so that's what his voice sounds like.
The upside down outfield.
Baseball. It's a very Midwestern voice. Okay, and then this is not video game related because I'll save this last one. I don't know what the hell, why I'm doing this, but I've begun watching these shows where these idiots, usually up in like Canada, they buy an abandoned like cabin that's like 100 years old that nobody's lived in for like 70 years, and then they completely remodel it and fix it up by themselves. But, like, while they're living in it, it's the craziest thing. There's so many channels like this. Well, not just in Canada. But there's so many channels. And, like, they build log cabins and stuff. Those don't interest me as much. But, like, you know, these houses, like, the floors are sagging. The house is ready to fall over. And you're thinking, they can't fix this. And somehow they fix it while they live there. I'm like eating like scraps, and it's just, dude, it's crazy.
Squirrels.
Well, I don't know if they're squirrels, but so the one I watch is one called Skote, SKOTE Outdoors. It's like this guy, and then he has now his wife is involved in it, and they live on the property, and it's really interesting because you see them like they've gradually been getting like more modern like equipment. Like a bigger ATV and solar panels and all this stuff. Because they're literally living on like a remote island in Newfoundland. There's like three other people living on this island. And they're just like making it. You know, they grow their own vegetables. They have goats and chickens and whatever. But, you know, they've been fixing this house and like adding on to it. You know, I mean, they're using like modern lumber and roofing supplies and that kind of stuff. But... they're doing so much of it themselves. Now, yes, they do have power tools, obviously. But I just find it very... it's just intriguing to me. And I'll fast forward and be like, I don't want to hear them talking. Let's get to the next... what did they fix next?
Enough yapping. Show me building. I don't
care. So, and they have, like, cute dogs that run around. And so... I've been watching a lot of those lately. There was this one... I forget the channel. Some guy... bought this like workshop, like the like I was talking about the Retro Collective, very similar like old English workshop from like, you know, that's probably like 200 years old or whatever, right? And again, the guy like basically replaced it all by hand, did the roof, did the support beams, everything by hand. I couldn't believe it.
All right, but here's my question.
Yeah.
Even if I wanted to go up and replace my roofer. I'm not a roofer. I don't know what's the word.
They just need to know like geometry.
No, but what I'm saying, I mean, yes, I could measure the roof, buy a piece of wood, and nail it there. Like, look, now I have a roof. But I don't know all the like, well, you need a watertight plastic seal that goes underneath, and you like, I don't know all those little safety requirements.
But it's
and
not
standards.
Like these, first of all, it's not, they're not building it to code, but it's not like these people have just wandered on to just doing it. They've done it before.
Okay,
that's kind of the whole.
So they're
point.
Professionals.
Yeah, more or less. I mean, you know, maybe not the professionals in everything specifically, but you know, they kind of make way. And sometimes they have like a friend shows up on the island and he helps them.
Bob Vila.
No, not Bob.
Hey, my friend happened to wander onto the set. He's a professional master plumber.
So, anyway, yeah. So those are very interesting. Anyway, so the video game one, the one that I've been, I watch a lot of, and I think you watch also, it's called My Retro Life.
Oh, yeah.
You don't like
it? I watch it sometimes. You know, you go.
All right, so the guy who does the videos, his name's Tyler Esposito, and I guess he's been doing this channel for many years, and it's the nature of it's changed a few times. And the whole key to this channel is that
his gimmick,
the gimmick, if you will, is that his father, Mark, in the late 80s and throughout the 90s, would like record his father was a big video game guy, which is very rare for somebody that was. Like, his father was, like, our parents, born in the 50s. And so very, very rare that he would care at all about video games, but even by the 80s at that point.
Well, to that extent,
right.
At least.
So the father was, like, clearly, like, a big-time gamer, collector. And his, you know, Tyler, when he was, like, 3 years old, was already, like, playing games. And, like I couldn't believe that this kid could play games. Because I'll tell you what, I couldn't play games when I had my niece and nephew. They can't play. They still can't play games. They just can't.
Some people can't.
Yeah. So I don't know. This kid could play. He could play the games, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he couldn't play the games, and the videotape showed him playing the games, and he just wasn't doing anything.
The dad was controlling it all. But anyway.
So the whole point about the gimmick is the father had a camcorder or whatever. And like a lot of parents did back then, my parents did, he recorded like a lot of this kid. Like he recorded when he would like open his Christmas presents or birthday presents and other stuff, and which we did also. But then the father would also record him playing video games because he was a video gamer.
Bringing home a new video game.
Right.
Showing the son.
Right. So this kid has all of this content from back in the day of him and the father, like, playing these games and getting these video games. So, and it was, like, they had every game and every game system. And then, like, in the late 90s, early 2000s, the father was going on eBay and buying, like, really obscure stuff. You know, and so they had, not only did they have everything back then, then he was really getting everything again. And, you know, just you know, wild stuff like that. Anyway, so the guy Tyler, he's now in he's almost 40, I think. And he, like, opens the episode, has a theme, he'll talk about it. And,
well,
you know.
Yeah, but you left.
I'm going to get to it.
All right.
So the whole thing, you know, the father unfortunately passed away in, like, 2007.
That's what I was, yeah.
And so that's a lot has to do with it, is that he talks about it, you know, reminiscing about, oh, you know, my dad, he really loved this game, and we got this game and loved it. And he talks about it and he reviews the games and all. There's a nice flow to it. And again, one of the things that I approve is his videos are not long. They're not like 4 hours long or something babbling. They're like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. So, you know, that's, and so over the last year or so, he's really put out a lot more and given more of the backstory, and I've really enjoyed it. And ironically, so his father is from, like, Queens, Long Island, his family. His grandfather was an inker for Marvel Comics.
Oh. So I don't, wait a minute!
Obviously, you didn't watch that.
His grandfather's me!
No!
Stan the man!
Stanley didn't ink crap! Mike
I invented Retro Game Man.
But yeah, so no, but that guy did work for Marvel. Probably worked for Stan Lee because he worked there back to the 60s and 70s and all.
Web slingers,
Mike
I'm gonna.
Esposito.
Nuff shed.
Yes! Anyway, so really on a tangent. So.
I like the videos. Yeah. I like his right. channel. I like his videos. Right. He does this thing that unfortunately every YouTuber has to do. I guess it seems to be because for the algorithm, the quote algorithm,
yeah.
where you have to title the video and make the thumbnail of the video yeah. some shock value thing.
So?
For clicks, which, again, I'm not faulting him for that. It's unfortunate that he has to do that. Because like you said, it's a nice thing. It's his dad
that,
died.
That is your takeaway? I just ignore that.
I know, but what I'm saying is he's trying to do this nice thing, like yeah. show the videos of his dad before he died and talk about it and his memories and yeah. his time that he was with his dad. And then, unfortunately, for the algorithm, he has to do some idiotic thumbnail.
I thought you would be more annoyed that every video, like the first 5 minutes, is an advertisement.
No, well, they all do.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they have to. They don't have a choice. Although I will say, his ads are actually pretty good. I mean, some of them are terrible.
Yeah,
like how many times am I going to see the angry video game nerd doing the stupid VPN?
I know.
Enough. Get another VPN. One. Oh no! Don't give him free advertising here.
I don't use it. Or the wallets, or the Raycon earbuds, or whatever, or the shoes, or the knives, or the Kintsu knives.
Anyway, so I don't know. I find it a very charming channel, yeah. and so yeah. he has all this old footage, and the guy has great footage, you know, from back old arcade footage, game store footage, and you know, and that kind of stuff. But this kid had he was an only child, but this kid had everything. And so he's also like a filmmaker. His father was a filmmaker at one point, you know, whatever that means these days. But
you know, the funny thing is, so he had a video.
The father made an independent horror film in the 70s that I actually want to see. It looks pretty like funny.
Wow. So he was like Lloyd Kaufman.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Well, so this guy, what's the channel again? My
Retro Life. And there is an episode where Tyler spends the episode comparing his father to James Rolfe. And he's like,
yes,
he goes, James Rolfe is my dad. Like, this is how he acted.
And I'm like, that's you're getting a little weird on me now, but I get it. I get it. He has to feed the algorithm. But,
I guess. Well, the only difference is I would assume the father could, like, successfully play video games, whereas James Rolfe is terrible at games.
When do we get an episode where Tyler is sitting on the couch and there's an AI-generated version of his dad
oh,
and he's talking to him?
I don't think he'll do that.
No, good. Please don't do it. Please don't do that.
He's a man of faith, so I don't think he's going to.
And hopefully common sense.
Yeah, we'll get to AI
integrity.
In a second.
No, but he had an episode that I can relate to.
Yeah.
Where a video game company comes out with a new product.
Yeah.
And he wants it so bad.
Well, it was everything.
Even though the dad is like, this is obviously garbage. I'm not buying this for you. Why do you want this piece of garbage so bad? I don't know. It just looks so cool. I need it. Look at the box. Look at the ad. I need it. And so finally, the thing was such a piece of garbage that it went on clearance. And the dad finally broke down bought it for. Do you know what it was?
I did see that episode.
Do you know
episode.
What I'm talking about?
I did see that episode.
What product am I talking about? I'll tell you.
Was it the Jaguar?
No. The Tiger GameCom.
Oh, the game.com. Oh, right.
And this is the part that I can relate to. Wanting it so bad, even though the adults are like, this is a piece of garbage. What do you want this for? Stop it. And then finally wearing down the parents and getting it and opening it up and playing it and crying because it's a piece of garbage, just like the parents said.
I'll be honest.
It was a piece of garbage.
I'll be honest.
Do you know how many times I've been there?
I know.
In that situation?
Yes, you were special.
Go ahead. You'll be honest.
When he was a little kid and he still had a Nintendo, His game choices were absolutely terrible. Absolutely terrible.
What's an example?
Well, like for the NES, he wanted like that 8-bit, that 8 Eyes game or whatever. It's awful.
Why?
And there were other ones, too. There were other ones, too.
Dr. Chaos, Phantom Fighter.
There were some really
bad ones. Cool School.
Some really bad ones.
Yes.
Then eventually, like, they figured out. So what he would say is, it was a little weird that he would, like, open up these games, and they're brand new games, but they were already in a clamshell.
Wait, what?
So, like, he would open up a new game.
Like the clear plastic.
Like the clear clamshell. Oh,
like from Blockbuster.
Yes. Yeah, so, because, and he would explain it as, like, he goes, my dad would have to test the game out first because if it was bad, he wouldn't buy it for me, which I thought was great.
So, wait, he would buy it, bring it home, test it.
I think he rented it or something. No, I think the father would rent it. Something like that. But,
all right, good. That was
but
smart.
When he would get the game, the father had already, like, cut the box up. And put the art, you know, the half of the box into the clamshell. So if you notice, like, all of his games, obviously you wouldn't do it for Master System or Genesis, they're already clamshells.
Right.
But all of his other games were in clamshells.
Got it.
So, but that was interesting. What I found was interesting. And again, I bounced around watching his episodes. I haven't watched them all in, like, in a row. Was that, like, as a kid, like, he was really a Nintendo kid. Even though he was really young, but he really wanted the SNES. He got the SNES. He loved his SNES. And then they became, like, Sega fans.
Well, the dad loved Sega.
Well, so what happened was they came home one day in, like, I don't know, 1991 or something, and their house had been robbed. And, like, they robbed their TVs and VCRs and all this stuff, and they robbed his Nintendo. So he explained.
So from then on, he hated Nintendo.
No. So he was like, the father was like, well, I'm not going to go to the store and get him this old Nintendo, you know. I'm going to get him this Genesis. This is like 1991 or whatever. I'm going to get him the Genesis.
Yeah,
so
it was still popular at the Genesis.
The NES, absolutely. What do you
no,
mean?
I mean, the Genesis was.
That's when it blew up.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, he was like, oh, I'm just going to get him the next big thing. So he got him the Genesis.
Right.
And then they were all, like, Genesis. But then, in the Christmas 91, he had to get him the Super Nintendo. So that's the other thing is, and I'm glad that this kid was a little spoiled with the games and got all these games because it makes for a better channel. But they literally had everything. They had Genesis, Nintendo, Game Boy.
Sega CD.
Atari 7800.
They had Sega CD.
Sega CD.
Which at the time was very expensive.
32X. They had Jaguar. Then they got the Saturn, N64. And the other thing was, like, do you notice his N64 was a Japanese one?
Oh.
So, say, fall of 96, the N64 came out here. But it had already been out in Japan.
In June.
Right, so he got that. So all the games are all clearly the Japanese-labeled games because he got it early. So the father also was not only a gamer, but he had some ability in Houston, Texas area to, like, get all these Japanese systems. A lot of their stuff was Japanese because they couldn't wait.
He was a secret agent.
No, he definitely wasn't. I don't know if they had a 3DO. You know, they didn't have, like, they had a Neo Geo.
He had a 2DO.
A what?
No, I'm kidding. 2DO.
But they had, like, everything. It was really impressive. But they didn't have, like, a million games for each system. They only had some games. And, like I said, some of his game choices were bizarre. The other day he was raving about Vector Man. I'm like, dude, come on.
Vector Man.
No good.
Nah.
Because he had a really good episode about about 1995, which was the weirdest year in video gaming back then. Because you had gotten rid of all of the disastrous CD systems, all the failures, you know, the 32X, well, not
3DO,
and Sega CD, and CDI, and all that garbage. And
right.
So that had all gone, and the Saturn came out early, and he explained the Saturn launch, and he actually made a point that I thought was a good point, which is that people always say that the Saturn got killed because, you know, the Sony people, the console wars, they gave that interview with the Chicago, blah, blah, blah. $299. You know, yeah, Sega's $399, we're going to be $299. But he made a good point. He said, Nobody in the public saw that. Right. Ever. For years and years. So no one saw that. And he's like, by the time the PlayStation came out, the Saturn was $299.
What was the problem with the Saturn?
Well, the problem was their initial launch was only in four stores, and it annoyed a lot of retailers like Walmart and KB, who said, well, we're not going to carry it, so they got screwed on that. And their game lineup initially was a problem.
Plus...
not that the... Listen, the PlayStation's launch lineup stunk.
But...
Yes.
The reputation... The Sega CD, the 32X.
Yeah, I'm... You know, I think...
People had Sega fatigue at that. They were over. They were over. Sega had become passé.
Right.
And so did Nintendo. I hate to say, so did Nintendo. Nintendo became passé. Sega became... Just like Atari had become passé. And Sony was the hot new thing. Right. You just couldn't topple it.
And I thought it was interesting, was then he became a huge Dreamcast guy. And he had the Dreamcast online, and so it was like I really enjoyed that part of the videos and seeing the launch stuff and their reaction and things like that. Anyway, it was a good show, a good channel, if you will, from him. So we're speaking of AI. You mentioned AI, AI celebrities. You showed me a video with Michael Jackson in it.
No.
Where he was like the cashier at like the Walmart or something?
Ma'am, that coupon expired, ma'am. I like this job. I want to keep my job.
Can you pull it up?
Yeah.
You talk while I...
So, I mean, the AI is just out of control now. It's so bad. I mean, it's anything you click on now on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, it's all AI. And it's all like animals. And I'm looking at them like, what is wrong with people? It's like they take the people take the dog out of the house and there's a cougar there attacking them. I'm like, that's not real. Right. There's no blood.
It's like, oh no, are you okay?
It's like, come on. Or like the baby's sitting there and the cat walks up and like kisses the baby. I'm like, come on, that's it's AI.
All right, hold on. Ready?
Really happen.
Ready?
Just buy one, get one free on milk.
Right, but it expired last July. We're in October, ma'am.
Can't you just, you know, override it?
I could, but then I get written up, and I like this job.
Hey, can I just serve...
I'm going to be honest with you. It looks just like him.
Right, but it expired last July. We're in October, ma'am.
Can't you just, you know, override it?
I could, but then I get written up, and I like this job.
Hey, can I just serve...
it's him with the Walmart vest on.
Yeah, but
I like this job.
And it's Michael Jackson's, like, look from, like, you know, like bad. Yeah, it's
so stupid.
So funny.
But, all right, here's my thing with all this AI slop, this AI nonsense. Everyone, I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone because everyone, CEOs, executives, friends, news, like every person alive keeps ranting and raving about how this is taking over the world.
Right.
This is taking over people's jobs. AI is taking over everything. AI can do everything. AI is limitless. Yeah. AI can do anything. This is the biggest revolution we've ever seen in human history. And I'm like, wait, time out. The only thing that I've seen AI do is make silly novelty videos. How is that taking over anything? That's not taking over anything.
I mean, it does a lot.
What do I do? But, all right, me making a fake Michael Jackson video or a fake baby cat video, how is that taking over people's... Who's making money from that?
Well, you can... I mean, if you
It's a toy!
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of productivity that AI can replace, so that's what people are fearing.
No, it isn't.
Well, I mean, it does. It's
no, listen,
it
at my job, the CEO, the exec, all of the people above me keep hammering. They keep hammering on us. You must use AI in everything you do. We must use this. We cannot fall behind. AI. Everything you do.
Right.
We have meetings every single week
What did you do with AI this past week? What did you do? What did everybody do with AI?
And we're all looking at each other, like, grasping at straw, like, last week I used AI to summarize a one-sentence email someone sent me. I don't know. What do I use? Nobody knows what to use AI for at work because it doesn't do anything.
Yeah, so...
So we're all faking, we're all, like, forcing ourselves to drum up some fake thing that we used AI for because it's... How is that taking over the world if it doesn't do anything?
Right.
I don't understand this world that I'm living in. Like, what is happening right now? Everyone's pretending like AI is this miracle technology. It makes toy videos. That's all it does. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm not even being paunch Rob. I'm being real life Rob. It's a fun toy, but it's not taking over jobs. But the bosses are treating it like it's taking over jobs.
Well, the other thing is, there's going to be a crash. There's going to be a big crash because all of these big companies are spending billions and billions and billions of dollars on these massive, like, data centers and all this kind of stuff. And there's an arms race for AI, but the problem is... there's going to be losers. And so you're going to have, like, major, major companies that are just going to be, I don't know what they're going to do, be, like, destitute. Like, Apple, they're not even doing AI.
Well, they're trying.
No, they're not.
I don't know why. But here's the thing, though. Prior to the past 3 years, when all this LLM stuff and AI and ChatGPT, Sam Altman, all these hucksters and charlatans with, oh, we need trillions of dollars to give me trillions and I'll change the world. And yeah. Oh, by the way, at work, do you know what happens if you go to the boss and say, hey, boss, give me a promotion and I'll show you some next level ideas and next level productivity and next level leadership? And the boss laughs you out of the room. Like, no, you have to be showing that to me first. And then you get the promotion. You have to earn the promotion.
Well, yeah.
Yet here we are with all these charlatans saying, hey, give me $1 trillion and then I'll show you next level technology.
And like, theoretical.
But anyway, the point that I was going to make is, what were you saying before I started ranting again?
I don't know.
You were saying the bubble and...
Well, there's going to be a bubble and it's going to burst and...
And companies are going to be left...
It's going to be bad.
Oh, Apple, right? So here's the thing. Prior to 3 years ago with the whole Sam Altman, ChatGPT, LLM stuff, our software and our devices were already implementing AI features. They called it machine learning.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, we're machine learning, like, in a photo, like computational photography or autocorrect or personal assistant, like smart assistant stuff, whatever. So a lot of this, quote, AI stuff was already in place.
Right.
It's just this LLM fad or this fervor, this hype. It's the insane hype. That we went from, oh, cool, machine learning features. That makes my phone take better pictures, or that makes my computer anticipate whatever. Little feature, right? Like little tools. We went from that to LLMs are going to take, they're taking over the world. Everyone's going to be jobless because CEOs want LLMs to do the whole entire job. And I'm like, how do I open up a laptop and put it on a desk and say, hey, LLM, hey, ChatGPT, hey, Grok, hey, Claude, or whatever, do this job, enter. Like, how does an LLM can't do a job? What are we doing here? This is not making sense to me.
Well, oh, we forgot one thing. So there's this other thing we found called the YouTube channel called Serial Geek. And they have, there's these British guys, and they found all of the original, a lot of the original recordings of, like, the Transformers, you know, Sunbow recording sessions. And they're great to listen to. Because you can see, like, you hear the process at work.
the British people are on a roll now with these videos.
Well. What is that?
All right, hold on a second. I'm gonna pull up one of the videos here.
Of what?
The Transformers. Oh. Ready? I gotta wait for the dumb political ad. Anyway, all right, 5 more seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Let's go. Ad is over. Now there's an ad for Panera. Skip the ad. All right, ready?
Autobots, transform, and roll out.
No, that's not what
I'm saying. I'll rip out your optic.
No, go ahead.
No, it's just really interesting, you know, hearing them and then hearing Wally Burr, like, quickly getting... But it's so... They're so good at it that he's just like, okay, do it this way. And then they do it, and then boom, take, and it's done.
Yeah.
Though it does seem like he picks on Corey Burton a lot.
Prime. Hold on. I got to get into Megatron. Hold on. Megatron. Get me into it. Get me into it. It's been a while. I haven't done it in how many years? I used to be good at Megatron. Get me into it somehow. Get me into the character.
What do you want me to do?
I don't know. Get me into the character. He was... I think my throat's too dry. That's the problem.
What is the difference?
He used to talk like... Right? He was like... Starscream! There we go, I found it! I'll rip out your optics, Prime! Decepticons, attack!
I don't want to do it slower. Decepticons, just transforming.
Decepticons, attack!
And once in a while they have bloopers. Not a lot of them, actually.
Oh, did you see that video? It was the Transformers thing about... The precursor to the actual...
Yeah, that was stupid. I watched. I showed it to you.
The Toad, or what was the other? Terrible. The other it was Toad. And what was the other?
It
name?
Was like a. It was a separate. It was a separate story treatment for if they were going to do it for like CBS, and it just
terrible.
Stunk. Yeah,
it was so corny. It was basically the GoBots, except with Transformers.
Yeah, it wasn't any good. It was going to go to CBS, and thankfully it didn't.
Anything else?
Well, Dr. Phil, he's bankrupt now, of course.
No. I am morally bankrupt.
He lost a big lawsuit, so now he's got to pay all this money, and so he's screwed.
What was the lawsuit?
I forget. It was some. I didn't read it. But he lost a big lawsuit, and now his media company basically is like. Is bankrupt.
Oh, the TV network, right? He had a TV network?
Maybe.
What you gotta do is you gotta not have a TV network. What did he get sued for?
I don't know. I didn't read it.
Like, well, read it.
Read it. I don't even know where that was.
Dr. Phil.
Does it matter?
How is he even still a thing?
Here.
Must liquidate his company. All right, hold on. Live on the air. Let's see. For scrap. Wow.
Bankruptcy judge.
Dr. Phil is going to be asking other people for advice. The trial centered on the...
Yeah, TBN. That was his non-for-profit Christian broadcaster or something. I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I don't even remember if he was involved in that one, but this, he's out.
I'm surprised it wasn't called DPN.
So we've outlasted Dr. Phil.
That's true.
He's done.
True. He will, maybe we could get him on the show now.
What do you want? Why would you want him?
Dr. Phil, let me tell you how to structure a bankruptcy so that you lose your TV network.
By the way, did you want to do, We could have done, like, a skit with, like, AI or something.
I don't want to... It's AI. Get out of here with AI.
Well,
sick
know,
of
like
AI.
The repeat... The conclusion of the what was that stupid thing that we did?
The customer service.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling. Due to abnormally high call volume... you have to long time wait times are longer than usual. And then it's like, in order to speed up the process, you can tell me why you're calling today. What can I help you with? Customer service. Before I connect you to customer service, tell me what you would like help with. My cable box isn't working.
Am I going the right way?
I don't know. I don't know where we are.
Your house.
It sounds to me like your cable box isn't working. No, it sounds to me like you need help with your cable box. Yeah, this is the right way. Like, you need help with your cable box. Is that correct? No, you could go straight here. Like, yes, that is correct. Say yes or no. Yes, that is correct. All right. Let's try some solutions to your cable box.